So y'all, so for the last several weeks, we have been promoting this whole thing you've been seeing up on the screen, this 4x4, and I'm sure a lot of you are wondering, what in the world is he talking about? What is that all about? And so today we're starting our new sermon series, I'm Up for the Challenge. And that is the 4x4 Evangelism Challenge. And so, again, I know some of you have been wondering, what is this all about? What has the pastor been talking about? What is he up to now? What does he want us to do? Well, listen, my goal and my hope is that all of us would take this challenge. So in short, so what is a challenge? It's a call to something great. A challenge is a call to take part in a competition, to take part in a task or a problem. And here's what I found out in life. Most of us, if not all of us, love a great challenge. That we love to take a dare. Or if people sometimes, they will double dare us. Back where I'm from, it would be double dog dare you. And when they did that, it was on like neck bones because you gave me a dare. You gave me a challenge. We like challenges as it relates to sports, to games that we play, whether it's dominoes or whether it's Bitwiz or whatever game. We like a great challenge. We don't want to sit down and play dominoes with somebody that doesn't know the game, that don't want to. We want a challenge. Reverend Mike said, that's why he doesn't play. And so we love a challenge on our jobs. Give us a great work project. We love a great challenge. We love a challenge as it relates to our health. That Reverend Mike, that he gets there in the gymnasium, you know, he pumps the weight. And so last week it was probably 350 that he was benching. This week it will be 450. Am I close? Okay, go the other direction. But people in the health arena, you love a great challenge. You love to be in the gymnasium and a challenge from those who are like you, that want to get fit, that want to be trim, that want to eat right. That's why you don't see me there. Lord, help me today. Even as it relates to crisis, we love a good challenge. And so in this preaching series, what I want to do is to challenge you, Living Faith Community Church, that God did not bring us to this place for no reason. That there is a community outside of us that need to know who Jesus Christ is. And guess what? He's called you and me to do it. Listen, Jesus gave his disciples a command. He gave them a call to something great. And if I can say this, he gave them a challenge when he says, go and make disciples of all the nations. That newsflash, Jesus was not simply talking to 12 men, to 12 disciples. In Matthew 28, Jesus is talking to you and he's talking to me. That he's calling us all to go and to make disciples. The Lord is speaking to you and me. And so that's simply what I want to do in this preaching series. It's a four-part series. Just to talk to us about this evangelism approach, this evangelism strategy that God is calling us to do. And guess what? I double dog dare you to meet the challenge. So let me share this first so that you all know. So what is this 4x4 challenge anyway? It's really just this proven evangelism approach. It has this simple concept, and that is it takes people to reach people. Did you hear what I said? Listen, churches can do big television ads. You can put door hangers on people's doors. You can take a banner and you can stretch it across the road and tell them your church is here. But at the end of the day, God's way and Jesus' way has always been it takes people to reach people. And so when we talk about evangelism and discipleship, we need to know what we're talking about. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and make those who will follow me, that will learn about me, those that will grow in their faith, they will be strengthened in their faith. The great purpose of the church is to make disciples, to help people to become stronger in their walk with the Lord, their walk with Jesus. But let's face the fact, if you're going to make a disciple, it presupposes you got to go and get them. the go in that text in Matthew 20, that's evangelism. You have to go and get them. Jesus said, I came to seek that which was lost. We can't save anybody, y'all. But God has called us to go and seek them. Listen, only faith in Jesus will free you and save you from your sin. But make no mistake about it, that Jesus called us to go and to find them. And so there are just four parts to this evangelism strategy. Y'all go hear more about it. We're going to have some refrigerator magnets for y'all to give out, put on your refrigerator. Well, listen, we got hand sanitizers with 4x4. This is a serious challenge. And God is calling all of us to rise to this challenge. But here are the four steps to the process. First, you identify people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. You identify people who are unchurched. Maybe it's people that haven't gone to church for a minute. They haven't been there for a while. And maybe it's people that don't know Jesus at all. They don't have a relationship with the Lord at all. And so you identify those people. That's what we're going to talk about today. But there's also interceding for people. How many believe in the power of intercessory prayer?
Yes, sir. Yes,
that when we say interceding, what we mean is standing in the gap for another person. That we pray for people that are unchurched, that don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe they haven't been there for a while. And we pray to God, we intercede on their behalf that God will bring them back into the fold. And then we invest time and energy and effort in people. We don't just try to say, okay, listen, let me throw a track at you, let me leave one, you know, in some conspicuous place. But we invest in the lives of other people. Is this a quick process? No, it is not. But it's a proven process. The person that came up with this 4x4 challenge, this process, some 15, 16 years ago, helped to grow a church to thousands just by using this process. People in identifying other people, interceding for them, investing in their life, and then inviting them. What do we invite them to? To the spring festival, fall festival, when we have movie night. When our youth are doing things, our children are doing things, we invite them to be a part of that, all with the goal, y'all, as Paul used to say, winning some to Christ. So turn with me to Luke chapter 6 in your Bibles, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. And it says this. So one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God. Just for a minute. he did a quickie prayer. He prayed all night. At daybreak, he called together all his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. And it says, here are their names. Their names are listed in the scriptures. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about this first part of this evangelism approach, identifying. That we have to identify people. Again, Jesus said, I came to seek that which was lost. We can't save people. We can't free people. It takes the power of Jesus, the power of God. But certainly by faith, we can go and find people that God wants to save. So by now, Jesus has already started his preaching ministry, his healing ministry, his teaching ministry. And as Reverend Mike said a couple of weeks ago, while Jesus was out doing Jesus stuff, you know, that he's performing miracles. Listen, when you see when dead people come to life, when sick people get whole, when demon-possessed people are no longer demon-possessed, that will catch your attention. And so Jesus catches the attention of a whole lot of people. That he has a group, this grouping of dedicated followers. But here's what I love about our text for today. Like a telescope, like a pair of binoculars, the eyes of Jesus fall on these 12 disciples that he called to himself, that they would walk with him and talk with him, and he would disciple them. He would teach them. They would learn from him. They would grow in him. And these 12 men would eventually turn the world upside down for Jesus. So that's what this process is all about. That's what it looks like for you and for me, to do it the way Jesus did. And so to follow suit with Jesus, that we have to identify people first. We have to select our four by four. So what did Jesus do? Let's look at the text. Verse 12, one day soon after, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. Here's the first thing we need to do, is to pray about our four before we pray for them. Pray about them. Again, the 12 apostles, the sent ones, had yet to be chosen. But there's this large group, this huge following of disciples, of followers of Jesus. Jesus had yet to choose them. And what Jesus does next is so important in the text. It's so important in his ministry. It's important in your ministry and my ministry too. Guess what? You are a minister of Jesus. No, maybe you're not called to stand in front of a bunch of people and proclaim the gospel. But to say that you are a minister is to say that you are a servant of Jesus Christ. If you are a born-again believer, you are a servant, called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. But it's vitally important to his ministry, because guess what? Jesus could carry everybody with him. He could take the masses of the crowds, but he focused on and identified, invested in, interceded for these 12 men. The Bible says that Jesus prayed all night. That's a sermon within itself. How often do you pray? How long do you pray? I'm not suggesting that a long prayer is a powerful prayer, but I dare to say, let me just talk about me. You know, in my faith and in busyness and all the stuff that we have to do in this world, listen, sometimes the prayers are just quickie prayers. And we're gone. I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. But the text says he prayed all night, y'all. And he had something to pray about. I believe as he prayed all night, he prayed to the Father about the 12 that he would select on the very next day. John chapter 17 is the powerful prayer of Jesus. It's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. In John 17, he prays, Jesus prays for himself. We're going to pray for ourselves, y'all. Jesus also prayed for people that would follow him in the years to come, in the future, disciples that were to come. But he also prays, y'all, for his disciples. Jesus said, in his prayer, I have revealed you, Father, to the ones you gave me from this world. I wonder who are the people that's in your circle of influence right now that God wants to reveal to you. But hopefully your eyes are open enough that you have Jesus' eyes and you can see the people that God is calling you to. The heart of God is that people would be saved. And our heart has to be, Reverend Mike, that people would come to know Jesus and the pardon of their sins. But in John 17, this is what he says. But in our text today, Jesus prays about the 12. Sometimes I think it's good if we go to God as a with an open heart, like an open book. God, I don't know what you want, but let me pray about it. So when you show me, I'll know what to pray for. In the text today, he prays about them before he prays for his 12. It's really about personal evangelism. Evangelism has to be personal. It has to be relational and not transactional. You know, I love evangelism strategies and techniques more than the next person. You know, so how are we going to do it? Are we going to go door knocking? Are we going to go street witnessing? Anybody done street witnessing before where you're out there on the corner somewhere, you got the microphone on, spitting in the microphone, talking real loud, people passing by in cars not paying you any attention, but you're preaching the gospel and you're preaching good. That's your best preaching right there. some street witnessing. Some of the techniques are, listen, we give them the ABCs of the gospel. And that's all a part of the conversion process, that you have to admit, you have to believe, you have to confess. There is the share Jesus without fear approach to converting people, bringing them to Christ. There are all these approaches and techniques, but if we are not careful, they become more transactional than personal. I kind of compare it to buying a hamburger versus buying a home. How many people go into a restaurant and you know, you go into the McDonald's or to the Burger King and you stop at the counter and you tell people what your name is, you tell them all about your family, you know, you tell them what's going on in your life. They just want to know what you want on your hamburger. They don't want to know all of that. But when you go to buy a house, Brother Mike Holly, and you got a real estate agent, you better believe that if he is a good real estate, and he is, before he talks about what kind of house, tell me about you. Tell me your name. Tell me about your family. That a good real estate agent, they're going to be relational. They're not just going to roll up on you, listen, what kind of house you got? Yeah, it's going to be $500,000. It's got this. Do you want to sign on the paper right now? No, that's not how that works. But I think too often when it comes to evangelism, it's kind of like that. Hey, how you doing? You need to be saved. Jesus wants you to save. You need to be saved. And it's like, wait, well, slow your roll for a minute. Did you even ask me what my name was? Do you care to know anything about me? Do you care to know anything about my life? So we're talking about praying about your four before you pray for them. So the question is, who will your four be? And so my question is, who do they have to be? And I think sometimes this can be a difficult question. Because I talk about me, I'm talking about me. Sometimes to pray about who I want to go to can be different than who God is sending me to. That oftentimes, listen, I want the low-hanging fruit. I want what's easy, y'all. God, send me to somebody that's really easy to lead to you. Don't send me to cussing folk. Don't send me to people that's tatted all up and looking all rough and everything. Don't send me to them. Send me to the easy folk. The folk that are just good by nature. They just say, ye golly. Oh, I can lead them to the Lord. I can lead them. God rest his soul. When you're talking about a Walter Jones, you know, God is good, and God can call anybody, and God can use anybody. And so God asks us to take some risk, y'all. That again, we want the easy stuff, but God will say, listen, I'm leading you to the difficult and I'm trying to stretch your faith. Has God led you maybe in your family, in your household, and you got to witness something, and they stretch your faith? They stretching you, man. By the words they say, the words that come out of it, they stretching you. But that's God using you to stretch your faith, because God is leading you to particular people. God wants to reveal to you to be particular people that he wants you to share the gospel with. And it's easy to play it safe, but think about Jesus. That Jesus was in the center of the Lord's will when he hung on Calvary's cross for you and for me. It's not always easy, but pray about your four before you pray for them. You may be surprised who God is actually leading you to. Here's another thing, that we need to find our four in third spaces. There's a term, third spaces. Verse 13, at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles, sent ones. That Jesus chose these 12 from a larger space. But notice in the text, it says, at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples. All, but he chose only 12. So what we know about the life of Jesus and the story of Jesus, that he went about preaching and teaching, that he didn't simply stay in one place, that he didn't just hang out at the temple and say, hey, listen, y'all hang some signs out there on the outside of the temple, tell them I love people, I want them to come, that he didn't ask, well, let's do a television ad, maybe they'll come. Listen, when it comes to this ministry, some of us remember the movie Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. That sounds good in theory, doesn't it? But for a moment, look around you. There's some empty chairs. Who is God calling you to talk to disciple, so that God's house may be full? And where will you go to find these people? Third spaces. So what is a third space? A third space is a place that's other than your home or your work. When we talk about third spaces, we're talking about places like the barbershop, where the fellas sit down. They may have a domino table over there. They sit down and they chat it up and they say all sorts of pleasantries about their wives and stuff like that. It might be at the beauty salon. Maybe it's the nail salon. Maybe it's, you know, it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's a community center. But these are places, y'all, where people hang out. And Jesus is asking us, will we hang out with those people in these third spaces? A lot of folk out there, y'all, at the car wash. I mean, we pay, what, $20, $30 to get a car wash, and it's dirty the day after that? But while you're sitting there at the car wash, there's probably somebody beside you, somebody around you. Why not share with them, how you doing today? You don't have to hit them over the head with the Bible. You know, the Lord said you need to be saved. Come out, demon. No, just share with the person. Ask them, what's your name? My name is Kevin. What's your name? You live around these parts? Start creating a relationship with the person. But we have to go into the third spaces because that's where people are. Jesus spent the majority of his time, y'all, in third places. He went throughout the village to different places. Being led by the Spirit, we must not simply be aware of people, but be awake to people. Oh, that's heavy right there. Not simply being aware of people, but to be awake to people. How many of us are in the grocery store and we're pushing the cart and there are people all around us that we're aware of the people, but are you awake to people? Have you ever really taken the opportunity when you go to the grocery store and you're pushing that cart to just look around you, look into the faces of people sometime? Some people look happy and joyous and glad, but y'all, you can look at a person's face and say, they're not doing well today. And maybe just a friendly, hello, how you doing, are you okay? It may create a conversation that maybe you didn't even expect you would have. Anybody ever done that before?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just how you doing. And it turns into this big conversation, and it gives you an opportunity to create a relationship with that person. It's a third space. But we have to be awake to people, aware of people. Some 8 billion people in this world. So a couple of billion at least haven't even heard about Jesus. But here's what I know. Even right here in America, even right here in our communities, in our neighborhoods, perhaps there are people that heard about Jesus, but maybe it was a long time ago. Or maybe the Jesus that somebody presented to them wasn't the Jesus that we know, the true Jesus. And they need to know about him. And God wants to use you and me to go into these third spaces and these places that we have to be woke to people that are around us for the cause of the gospel. After that, y'all, listen, we have to choose our four on purpose. I love Mark chapter 3, verse 14, where it says, then he, Jesus, appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles, his homies, these sent ones. And we see their names, y'all, in the scriptures, Simon and Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, all of these that he called. And we think it's interesting to me that Jesus calls these 12. Start looking at the list for a minute. How many of us know Simon? Remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter had an anger problem. Simon Peter will cut you in a minute. That he calls Matthew Levi, tax collector. Folk didn't like tax collectors. Some of y'all don't like the Internal Revenue Service today. They ain't done nothing to y'all. Pay your taxes. Stop putting more children on your account than you know that you did. Y'all, look. There's a guy here named Simon who was called a zealot. You know what a zealot is? These were people that stood for their Jewish beliefs. They stood strong, and they could not stand the Roman government. These are people that were ready to rise up and go and cut some folk, kill some folk, because of their belief, their Jewish beliefs. That they were zealous. They were zealots. They were thrilled. They were excited to stand up and even die for what they believed. And then, of all the people, who knows this rascal by the name of Judas? The one that would betray Jesus. But Jesus chooses these 12, and he chooses them on purpose. And these 12 would accompany Jesus wherever he went. Jesus purposely formed a relationship with 12 guys. How many of us would dare to form a relationship, I mean a close, intimate, authentic relationship with 12 people? How many of us can say that we have an up-close, personal, authentic relationship with 12 people? It's quieted here. I thought more people would throw their hands up. I got 12. I got my posse. I got my crew. But guess what? We know something's true. Man, you don't form genuine, up-close, authentic relationships with a lot of people in your whole lifetime. I know that's true for me. I'm surrounded by a lot of great people, a lot of great guys. Reverend Mike, part of the posse and the crew. But honestly, the truth is that we don't, and for lots of reasons too, for some of us, we don't allow people to come into our circle. Be quiet, Alan Jones. We don't allow people to come into our circle, into our space, just because of who we are. That some of us by nature are very untrusting people, that we simply are. But pray to God that he's softening our heart to trust people more, that we invite more people into our circle. Pray for us. But most of us don't have 12 people or 10 people or 8 people that this is truly a person that's in my circle, a person that I have a genuine, open, honest relationship with. But the thing is, we're relational by nature. God called us to be relational. And God called us to choose people that are around us in those third spaces, people that we pass by every day to be in relationship with him. And so I believe this, we're relational at core. And when you add the gospel, when we're filled with the gospel, we are power-filled. And we become powerful. I need y'all to know that today. That if you are a born-again believer, you are a carrier of the gospel. The euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't you understand how powerful you are? The power to lead somebody in a relationship into a relationship with Jesus Christ that will change their eternal destiny. You are powerful. And guess what? The enemy knows it too. And he wants to stop you and me from exerting and using our power to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that are around us. That we have to choose with purpose those who God has called us, Jesus is calling us to be around. A lot of us have a whole bunch of Facebook friends, you know, 300, 400, but how many really have real friends though? That God is calling us to be in loving relationship with him, but to also be in relationship with people that are around us. We have to identify them. We have to choose them according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Who are these people? Listen, I appreciate so much, and I try not to put people's names out. I'm learning, put people's names out. I don't want to throw people under the bus, but Minister Janice Brown, for years, she had a Bible study, Serendipity. I don't know if she's in here somewhere. Where you at, Minister Jan? There she's right there. You better believe for all those years that she had this women's Bible study where they gather together on a weekly basis, monthly basis, twice a month, and she had a goal in mind to disciple them, to bring other women around her, to help them grow in their faith, to be the people that God had called these women, to be powerful women. You better believe that Reverend Mike, that when he goes to the gymnasium, that listen, he has a purpose and a goal in mind. that I don't know if he's got anybody that works with Reverend Mike, anybody that goes to the gym with him, but you better believe somewhere in the conversation with Reverend Mike, yeah, he's going to want to know about you, know about your family. He's going to create that relationship. Then he's going to ask this Chris question, what do you know about Jesus? Anybody know Reverend Mike from the gymnasium? Anybody know him from the job? That's who he is. That's what he does. That's what Jesus wants from us, y'all. But we have to be bold enough to take the challenge. We have to be bold enough to stand up. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't let your head get in the way. Know what's in your heart as it relates to other people and their relationship with the Lord. The greatest thing you can ever do in your life is lead another person to the Lord. Do you not know that and understand that? So don't let your head get in the way. Don't let a lack of confidence in the gospel get in the way. I declare the gospel is powerful. The gospel in itself, y'all, it's like a sword. The word of God is like a sword. It will cut people. You're not doing it. Let God do it. You simply be the instrument that God is calling to share his word. So don't let anything get in the way. Your past sins, your past mistakes, your past failures. Accept the challenge. Listen, I know we can't change the whole world, but I believe this, that God is calling you and me to change the world that's around us. That he's asking you and me today to stand up, to accept the call and the command, to accept the challenge, to bring people to him. So who will your four be? Doesn't have to be a drug dealer on the street. Doesn't have to be that person. But if it is, it is. Don't have to necessarily go door to door. You don't have to go on a missionary trip halfway around the world. You don't have to limit yourself to four. But listen, we need to reach out to four. So what am I going to be asking you to do? So I don't have the wallet size or the purse size cards with me, but they look a lot like this. They look like this. And on the back of the card, it says, will you take the challenge? Who are your four? And so in this next week, I want y'all to be in prayer. I'll be in prayer with you. Who are the people that God will be leading you to? I'll have these cards available next week. They were supposed to be here this week, but, you know, something happened with the shipping, and so don't have them yet. I meant to give them out to you all today because I'm serious about this. We have to be serious about this. Who will be at least the four people? Again, it doesn't have to be four. Maybe it's two people that God is calling you to invite, to identify. Who will you identify to go on the back of your car? Start thinking about people right now. People that you know at the nail shop. People you know at the barber shop. People you hang out with at the gym. It might be some of the people on your job. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have been called by God. You have been empowered by God to identify, to intercede for people, to bring people to Jesus. Who will your four be? Where is that someone in that somewhere where you can reach out and you can identify people and bring them to the Lord? You know, I love John chapter 4. Where Jesus speaks to his disciples. He speaks about a spiritual harvest, but he uses a natural harvest analogy. He says something like this. You know, the saying goes like this, that 4 months between planting and harvest, that from the time a seed is planted into the ground until the time it grows up and it's a harvest, it takes about 4 months. But Jesus was saying something powerful. Because Jesus says, but I say to you, wake up, be woke, be aware, wake up and look around you. The fields are ripe for the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus was saying something there. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the harvest. He's saying to us today, the harvest is plentiful. You go up and down 1111 Tally Road, the harvest is plentiful. You go into Alamo Ranch, the harvest is plentiful, but the issue is with those who will go out and who will harvest the field that it's already ripe, it's already there. I just need you to go. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. And Jesus said, I want you. He wants me to go out and to reach them. So let's remain awake and look around us and see with Jesus' eyes, what he sees. As I end, y'all, listen, when I was young, y'all, I loved comic books. Marvel comic, DC comic. I love The Incredible Hulk. All right. Superman. All right. Spider-Man. Batman. Superwoman. The Avengers. Some young people looking at me, I just thought they just made those in movies. No, those were comic books first. I had them all, y'all. There was even I think it was called Harvey Comics. And some of y'all still remember Little Lotta and Richie Rich and Little Dot. You know, I just love comic books. But there's something I really loved about those comic books. It was what was at the back of the comic book. Did anybody remember those gimmicks and those novelties that you look in the back of the comic book and you find these different things that you could get, these gimmicks and these gags? These were advertisements, y'all, that caused a young boy to get his few little coins and little pennies together and send off in the mail order so he could get one of these gags or these gimmicks. And y'all, so they had all sorts of stuff, y'all. They had the sea monkeys. Anybody send off and get the sea monkeys, y'all? They had the joy buzzer. They had these different magic tricks, magic cars. And of course, y'all, they had the all-time favorite seller. That was the X-ray glasses. For $1, you could get these X-ray glasses, 25 cents for shipping and handling. You could get these X-ray glasses, y'all. You could see, with the X-ray glasses, you'd be able to see through walls. You'd be able to see through skin, y'all. And for a minute, little boy, you could see through clothes. It's like, ooh, I got to have these glasses. How many of y'all know it was just a gimmick? It was a gag. That when I got these glasses, it was really just that this film that they made these glasses out of was an optical illusion. That somehow when you look through the glass, it kind of shimmered it, and it put like this framing around your hand or whatever object you were looking at. And so you would have thought, maybe I'm seeing X-ray. No, you're not. It's just an optical illusion. I'm learning at this stage of my life, y'all, that I'm not concerned about X-ray vision. I'm just glad I can see. Yeah. Sister Myra, even with glasses, sometimes I can't see that well. So, but what Jesus sees, when he said the harvest is plentiful, it's not an optical illusion. It's true. There are people that need a relationship with Jesus. And the older I get, time is winding up. And I don't know about you, I want to be about Jesus' business. I want to see the things that Jesus sees. I want to do the things that he did. I want to see the harvest, y'all. When I look at people, I want to look at people who need a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I look at people, I want to see their pain. I want to see their hopes and their dreams. I want to know something about them. I want to be in relationship with people so we can lead people to the Lord. To see people. To see their worries and their fears. To identify with people, to identify them so that we can lead them to a relationship with the Lord. So here's my hope for us today and tomorrow and every day, that we would look out, that we'd be able to identify people, and that we'd be able to lead them to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I end by asking you again, who will your 4x4 be? Amen. Pray with me. God, your heart is that people would be saved. Give us that heart today. If that's not the heart that we've had, oh God, forgive us. that we would focus on the right things. God, that you planted us here at 1111 Tally Road. But it's so much bigger than a building. So much bigger than a structure with a roof, lights and camera and action. So much bigger than a beautiful piece of land. We thank you for it. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you have called us to reach out to people, to form a relationship with people that don't have a relationship with you. Because your heart is to love people. Give us that heart, oh God, to love people, to be so passionate about sharing your gospel that we would not be ashamed to tell it wherever we go, to not be transactional in our relationship with other people, but to be relational, to reach out. So, Father, I pray for every able-bodied person here today that has been saved, that know you and the pardon of their sins, that today's message, oh God, that it would prick their hearts. So many people come into relationship with you, but few people actually reach out to other people that don't have a relationship with you, that we can invite them to church. But ultimately, they need to be invited into a relationship with you, Father. So today, we stand boldly. And we stand courageously, and we take the dare. We take the challenge as a church family, as a whole, as a body, oh God, as a local church. We take the challenge today. And over these next 8 months or so, we'll do this 4x4 challenge. And we'll watch, oh God, you do what only you can do, that you will bring them in. Only you can save. But we'll seek, we'll find, let you do what only you can do. Even in this moment, oh God, we pray for those that are without a saving relationship with you. Your word says that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in you should not perish but have everlasting life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we all admit that we've sinned and fallen short of your glory. But we're believing right now, Lord God, that Jesus Christ came into this world, that he became human. God, you became human for us to draw us back to you. We believe in this Jesus. We confess this Jesus with our mouths, believe with our hearts, oh God, that you raised him from the dead. And your word says that saves us. And because we are saved, oh God, we reach out to those who are unchurched and unsaved so that the cycle continues. And those that you call to yourself will come to know you. God, thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the power that you've given us to reach people for the kingdom. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.